Theology Encore Boise is a podcast recorded in front of a live audience in the Diocese of Boise, Idaho. It is a gathering of adults over 21 where we explore our faith in a fun and relaxed environment. We are faithful to the teachings of the church, but welcome all adults to join us for fellowship and conversation as we seek to understand Catholic teaching. Our theme is Living Out Our Catholic Faith in a Secular Culture. We hope you enjoy this month's recording.
Thank you. Before I go into who's coming up tonight, I just wanted to thank Rosa. I want to thank Rosa and everyone here at Cancun Restaurant because they've been wonderful. They've been so excited to have us, and it's getting better and better. In the first couple of times, Alana and I would be moving out tables right before everybody was showing up. Now they're there. And now there's chips and salsa and water, and so it's just getting better and better. And they're
fast credit card system.
And the what? Huh?
The new fast credit card.
The new fast credit card system. Oh, we do? Oh, I didn't know about that. I didn't know about that. So thank you to the lay Dominicans for letting us borrow the podcast recorder because we're going to try to get our own sometime. Thank you, Deacon Bill Burns lets us use his PA system, and then I just got this little thing here that is making lots of noise. We'll see how this works. Tonight, have you all heard of Focus? Some of you have, some of you have not. Okay, so we've been going to, for the last couple of years, to St. Paul's, the student center for Mass, and the Focus group is here, and it's funny because they're asked often, well, what are you studying? What, you know, and they're not Boise State students. They're graduates, and they're going to share their ministry with us. They have a wonderful ministry, and just it's very exciting to see them and to see the young people at St. Paul's because it is the future of the church. When I hear, like, when I get discouraged about people, the number of people leaving and so many kids aren't practicing their faith anymore and all of this, to be there and to see people coming in, it's just super, super exciting. So I'm excited to have Christopher, is it Apple? He's the team director here. They just all got here too. And so on their website, it says their approach is to win the hearts of college students, build them in the faith, and send them out into the world. So, all right. And then Father Tom's here, too, to answer questions afterwards if anybody has any questions about Focus. He says no. Okay, I'm handing it off to you.
How's it going? Can everyone actually hear me with this thing? Last time I did one of these, no one could hear because the speaker system didn't work. So, let's begin in a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, send your Spirit into this place and kindle a fire of your love in our hearts so that at every moment we may draw closer and closer to your Trinitarian love. Mother Mary, wrap your mantle of protection about us as you pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. From the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Bear with me. I made a PowerPoint, and it turned out the Lord didn't want there to be a PowerPoint tonight. So there won't be a PowerPoint tonight, but I'll be adapting it and just talking about it instead. So thank you, Stephanie. As she said, my name is Christopher Apple. Originally, I grew up in Colfax, Washington. Some of you may know it. It's over by Pullman, Washington. I'm sure everyone knows Pullman. So I grew up there. I went to school at Washington State University, slightly against my choice, but then I fell in love with it anyways. Go Cougs. I studied bioengineering for 4 years. My intention was to go to medical school afterwards. But my senior year, I had this crazy encounter with a missionary, which led to an encounter with God. I reverted back to the faith, having been a practicing but hardly Catholic. And then I became a missionary in the end because God called me to this amazing work. I've spent the last 2 years at the University of Northern Colorado, where I've been a missionary for 2 years. And then this year I was asked to take over as the team director of our team here at Boise State University. One of our teammates ill today, so she's not with us, but the rest of my team. One of my a little bit sick, but everyone else is here in the back. Avoiding eye contact is what they're doing. So Focus is a missionary organization. I want to kind of talk about how it started as a way to explain what it is. So way back when, in 1998, our founders, Curtis Martin and Ted Tree, looked around and saw that on college campuses, the Catholic Church was not represented. We had Newman Centers, which were amazing places for students to be formed in their faith, but nowhere was there a presence on the campus itself. Nowhere was people knocking on doors saying, do you know that like what the Catholic Church teaches? They both had encounters with other Protestant groups, which were doing this thing, where they were out on campus, meeting students where they were, and talking to them about Jesus. And so they wanted to do the same thing for Catholics, and to bring people to the fullness of the faith, because, you know, as we all know, the Catholic Church is the one true church. It contains the fullness. And so they wanted to build upon what they saw the Protestants doing. So with their mentor, Scott Hahn, they designed Focus, and they launched it in 1998 at Benedictine University, which, as you all know, is a Catholic university, but at that time, it really had lost its Catholic identity. It had become a party school where people went to go drink and carouse, and slowly since then, it has actually turned around, and it is now considered one of the most Catholic universities in the country. So it started with those two missionaries at Benedictine in 1998. In the last 21 years, we have grown substantially. This year, we sent 730 missionaries to 172 locations, including 8 parishes now and 5 international campuses. If I'm not mistaken, we serve abroad 2 campuses in Austria, 1 in Germany, 1 in Ireland, and 1 in England. Pray for them. As many of you know, the church in Europe is very much in decay, and it is very difficult for them over there. We expanded to Boise State University in the fall of 2016. To give you an idea, this is our 4th year here at Boise State University. I think Father Tom wasn't there at the time, but soon after he joined as well. Focus, as I said, Focus is very much focused on the campus. We're focused on meeting students where they are and encountering Jesus Christ in them. All of us as missionaries are missionaries for the Catholic Church. One of the other things I get a lot is I say, I'm a missionary. And they're like, oh, you're Mormon. I'm like, no. It's really funny. So I always have to say, I'm a Catholic missionary because, you know, apparently Catholics don't have those anymore. We're all recent college graduates, so I graduated in 2017. Most of us are recent graduates, I have to say. And we're all focused specifically on college campuses. We look at the whole spectrum of the Catholic Church, and we've noticed that college students are the ones most at risk of losing their faith. According to the Pew Institute for Research, 80% of Catholics will lose their faith by age of 24, so in college or shortly after college. So if most people are leaving before then, we need to reach them before that moment. We've also noticed that college is the first time people are away from their families. They're away from their parents who are forcing them to go to church. And it's the first time they can choose whether they want to be Catholic or not. And so it's this pivotal moment where this switch happens. Additionally, it's the moment where people learn to be leaders. So if we can build up people to be leaders for the church when they're young and then they're 21 or 22, then we'll know that our church will be in good hands in 20 years from now when those people are now leading their parishes. So that kind of gives you an idea of like why we do this. As missionaries, we all come from very diverse backgrounds. I haven't met a single missionary who's just like another one. On our team, we all have very different majors and backgrounds. I was an engineer for pre-medicine. Kelly was a pre-physical therapy major. Riley is a nurse, and I'm pretty sure Catherine studied business. Communications, close enough. And all of us gave up something to be here. I had 3 offers for medical school, and I very much wanted to go, but I knew that God wanted me to do this thing. So I want to talk about what we do exactly. So simply put, as Stephanie said, we win, build, and send. We'll win students over to a relationship with Jesus Christ through friendship. So for instance, we'll go on campus, we'll meet students wherever we can find them, we'll go and play volleyball, we'll go to the student union building, we'll go to the gym, wherever we can, we'll go and meet students wherever we can find them. And then we'll try to build friendships with them. We'll get their number and text them, hey, do you want to grab coffee? Do you want to go grab Mexican food? Like, whatever it is, we'll go find students and build friendships with them. then slowly we'll talk about Jesus to them. We'll talk about our own conversions or reversions. We'll talk about Jesus Christ and his church and slowly invite them into St. Paul's community, the student center there. Eventually, they'll encounter Jesus Christ through us and through other people and through the sacraments. And from there, we'll start building up their relationship with Jesus. We teach them who Jesus Christ is. We teach them, how do you pray? How do you read scriptures? What does all this mean? Why do you have to go to confession? You name it, all the things that we're all doing, but we'll teach that specifically to them. And we'll teach them how to do the same thing that we've been doing. We'll teach them, how do you lead a Bible study? How do you talk to someone else about your faith? And then we'll send them out to do the same thing. So there's two students I want to talk about from my previous campus. Their names are Miguel and Noah. They're both very good friends of mine now. Miguel was a freshman coming in when I was a first-year missionary. So his family hadn't gone to Mass in something close to 2 years when he first came to college. His family was very Christian Catholic, so they went to Christmas and Easter Mass, if that, and that was it. So he came to college, and somehow he filled out one of our contact forms when we were tabling on campus. He just walked up to the Catholic table and filled out this form. I don't know why he did it. I've never asked him that. But we called him up one day, and we're like, we're having a large group Bible study. Do you want to come? For some odd reason, he came. And he actually still has that voicemail of an invitation still on his phone because it was such a pivotal moment in his life. That's where I met him. The next day, we went out and got lunch at a Mexican restaurant, and we just talked about life, talked about who this guy is, where he came from, why he wanted to go to college, why he ended up there. He was a trumpet performance major, so that was already leading to so many questions of why would you want to be a trumpet performance major? And slowly, I built up this really good friendship with him. I found out that he wasn't a confirmed Catholic. He'd never gone through confirmation, and so I was like, hey, you want to do RCIA? And he's like, yeah, sure, why not? Because I guess he had nothing else to do. But it turns out he couldn't go to the class because he had his own class during that time. So the RCIA teacher was like, hey, do you want to teach him RCIA? I'm like, well, why not? So I started teaching him RCIA every week. And that was when our relationship really began focused on Jesus Christ. Because in that time, we'd pray together. I would talk to him about Jesus. And I started to notice this light in his eyes as he would talk about Jesus. Like he was falling deeper and deeper in love with Jesus Christ. And it was incredible to watch this happen. So by the end of this time, he was ready to be sent out. And so when I asked him to go and do this to others, he'd already been doing it. His best friend and his girlfriend at that point had already decided they want to become Catholic because they watched what was going on in him. So he taught them about the Catholic Church. So this past Easter, they both entered the church as well. And it baffles my mind how God works like that. The other student is Noah. Noah, on the other hand, was a faithful Catholic coming into college. I actually met him at a daily mass, of all things, because he was just struggling and he was homesick. And so he came to school and he just crashed and he knew that like the church was a place to go. And so I saw him at a daily mass. And so I started talking to him. Me and my teammate started talking to him. And he was just all on board with the faith. But then, 2 weeks later, he disappeared off the face of the planet and I didn't see him for the next 3 months, at mass at least. He found the party scene of college and he fell away hard. We would still see him on campus. We'd be tabling and we'd run into him. And it's always awkward when you run into students who you know are Catholic and they know you're Catholic and they know you're a missionary. They kind of do this thing. They're like, are you going to talk to me about mass? And it's kind of funny to watch. Because no, we don't. But we started talking. We just like in those counters, we'd be like, how are you doing? How's your girlfriend? You know, the basic questions of life. So that 3 months later, when he was in a crisis in his life where something happened and he just needed someone to talk to, he knew that we cared. And so he reached out to us and we started talking again. And slowly he started coming back to Mass and he started getting involved in his faith. He went to this retreat that we held and that's where he encountered Jesus in a really powerful way. He came back and he was just on fire. He actually then went to his roommates and he looked at them dead in the eyes like, you will break. I will convert you. And I was, after some, like, that's a little bit pushy, but I like the zeal. And he just took off. He started a Bible study with 8 guys. I didn't think these guys would ever be in a Bible study. They had no business being in a Bible study. But they all loved it, and they went deep, and it was crazy. He's now discipling 3 other guys, so he's mentoring 3 more people and teaching them how to go out and be missionaries. 2 of these guys started a Bible study in the musical theater program. They're both musical theater students. And I don't know if you know the stereotypes surrounding musical theater majors, but they're absolutely true. It's kind of a weird place. So they have this Bible study going, and these guys, I met some of them like, you're in a Catholic Bible study? I was like, how did that happen? The Lord is providing, and he's just doing amazing things. So in this, and that's like, those are just two of the students we worked with. But it's so amazing because this is the story of so many students all across the country. And it just, it's so incredibly part of, we call this process spiritual multiplication because in it, it multiplies over time. So for instance, I had four guys that I was working with the last 2 years, Miguel, Noah, and then a couple others. Those were people I devoted my entire time to. So we meet up multiple times a week. We'd hang out many times. Those were the students I invest in deeply. We were always getting coffee, hanging out, grabbing lunch, going to the soccer fields, whatever it is. And then I was teaching them to do the same thing. So I had those four guys, and those four guys each had students that they were working with and reaching out to. And it's multiplication because this keeps happening. I have this nice little diagram, but I can't show you that. So you have to imagine it. The best way I've heard an analogy, you know how those like really catchy YouTube videos like pass around all the time? Back in the day, they sent it by email. Now it's just by Facebook. You know how like they start up, one person does it, and it doesn't grow very fast. But then a certain point happens, and everyone starts sharing it. It's just like that, but with the faith. So this exponential growth happens, where I'm reaching out to three people. They're reaching out to three people. Each of those people are reaching out to three people. And it's a really beautiful thing. And we'll go through the numbers later. But in this spiritual multiplication, there are three habits that we've noticed, as Focus has noticed, that are very key to making this possible. The first is what we call divine intimacy. And it's exactly what it sounds like. It is being intimate with God. The entire purpose of our spiritual lives and our lives as Catholics is to grow in communion with God. I've heard that heaven will basically be that union with God, like that is heaven. Jesus said, and this is eternal life, that they know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I don't know if this is theologically sound, but in my mind, when I hear that, it sounds as if Jesus saying that eternal life, heaven, is knowing God, which means that like heaven, eternal life starts when we meet Jesus and when we have that relationship with him, which we can have that relationship here on earth. So it's out of this relationship that everything flows. I've always found it fascinating to watch missionaries who are, you know, are just, you know those people who just have that aura of holiness and who you know Jesus. Watching them do mission is like watching Moses part the Red Sea, because students don't have to say anything. Students just see how they live their lives and they want it. It's amazing. But this is the goal for our students too, is that they have divine intimacy. This is the end goal for everything we do. The second habit that we've noticed is crucially important is what we call authentic friendship. St. Paul said, so, being affectionately desirous of you, we are ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. I think it's so beautiful that St. Paul is talking to the Thessalonians about the fact that it's not enough for him to preach about Jesus Christ, but that he actually wants to share his own life with them, to be actually so deeply invested in them that he's giving them his life. That's what we do as missionaries, and that's what we're called to do as Catholic brothers and sisters, is to give our lives to one another. So we don't just go around campus saying, Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, but we actually care about our students. The amount of times I've had conversations with students about their girlfriend or boyfriend who dumped them is insane. And you could say that that's not part of my job, but it is. Because to be an authentic friend means to care about every aspect of their lives. So we do things like hanging out late at night, talking about football. We go to carnivals, and we do so many things just to build this authentic friendship, because we do care about our students, and we truly love them, and we want them to know how much we love them. This is such an important part, because without it, you would feel used if you didn't know that the person who's investing in you actually cares about you as a human being. So that's authentic friendship. And then the third habit, for spiritual multiplication, we call clarity and conviction of spiritual multiplication. I'll get to those terms in a second. One of the last things Jesus said on his time on earth, right after his passion, death, resurrection, right the moment before he ascends into heaven, according to Matthew's gospel, it says, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. Jesus could have said a lot of things as the last things he said on earth. He could have said, go and make Bible studies. He could have said, go and have donut tables after Mass. There's a lot of things Jesus could have said, but he didn't. He ended with this line, which is really powerful. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I say it's kind of like when the judge says, by the authority vested in me, I pronounce yada, yada, yada. Jesus is saying, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. That's a lot of authority that he's claiming. And the next line is so important. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. I think this is the core mission of the church. I think this is what the church was founded on, is to go out and bring other people to him. Like, the church is meant to be an evangelization machine, family thing. Theology may not be sound there, that statement. but this is the core of what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to go and make disciples. And you can see that St. Paul did this. He had Timothy and Titus were his two disciples. And Timothy and Titus both had disciples. This was how the church was spread. If you look at Jesus' ministry as a kind of a strategical angle, his entire strategy was based on his disciples. He was always teaching the crowds, but the crowds came and went. His disciples were the ones who always were with him, and they were the ones he cared about. And even of the disciples, there was always three that he was closest to, Peter, James, and John. They were there at the agony in the garden. They were there at the transfiguration on the mountain. They were always with Jesus, and he invested in them so deeply. And after Jesus' death and resurrection, they were the ones who went out and spread the word about Jesus. And it is through this spiritual multiplication that it went about. Paul, when he was writing to his disciple Timothy, wrote, "And what you have heard from me before many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." In focus, it's kind of bad. We say that this is 2 Timothy 2:2, and we say 2 Timothy 2:2, teach teachers to teach. Is basically what that translates to. St. Paul is saying to Timothy, not only is it good that you've become Catholic, not only is it good that the people you're reaching out to have met Jesus, but now I want you to teach the people you're reaching out to teach others, if that makes sense. We call it seeing beyond Timothy, where Paul wasn't content with just Timothy. He wasn't content with just the people Timothy reached out to, but he wanted those people to go out on mission. That's how important it was to St. Paul that everyone goes on mission. So that's the clarity of spiritual multiplication, is that idea of what it is to spiritually multiply. We say the phrase is clarity and conviction of spiritual multiplication. Conviction is something different. And it took me a long time, like halfway through my second year as a missionary, to realize the difference between this. And the way I put it is there's a difference between being convicted of something and being convinced of something. I can convince you that spiritual multiplication is the fastest way to evangelize the whole world. But it's different than if you were convicted of that. Someone who's convicted will move everything in their power to make something happen. So if we're convicted of spiritual multiplication, we'll make everything that we're doing align so that that is possible. So as missionaries, and what we try to teach our students, is that everything we're doing should align towards spiritual multiplication. So this looks kind of like when we're planning events, we always want to have that lens of spiritual multiplication. How are we winning students, building students, and sending students? As missionaries, we're always looking for ways to invest in our disciples as we're doing something. So I'm planning this event, great, I'm going to grab my disciple and teach them how to do it, and they're going to do it for me. That way they learn how to do it, and it happens, if that makes sense. So conviction is so important. Whoops. That's the problem with PowerPoint. Spiritual multiplication. We like to compare spiritual multiplication to what we call the super evangelist, someone who can evangelize a million people a year. It's thought of that Saint Pope John Paul II could have reached a million people every year of his papacy. So by the end of it, he would reach a lot of people. So every year you add a million people. And we like to compare this to the spiritual multiplication model. For reference, I have a little chart here. So at first, when you compare these two, spiritual multiplication doesn't look like it's going to win, because you have this person just evangelized a million people, and you've evangelized three. Those are pretty different numbers, and you feel kind of bad and pathetic about your ministry. And this is the personal experience. When you only reach three people, it feels kind of weird. But those keep multiplying. So by year three, you have 39 people have been reached by year three. And you personally have only ever reached three of them. By year five, you've reached 243 people. By year 10, you've reached 59,000 people. And year 15, you're about even with that super evangelist. Where by year 15, you yourself, through those three people, have reached 14,348,000 people. The next year, you'll overtake the super evangelist. With this model, if every single year you add another layer, by year 21, you've reached 10 billion people. So the idea of this is that in 21 years, you could reach the entire planet. That to me is crazy. That means that in this generation, in our lifespans, it's possible to reach everyone on the planet. That's crazy. And we see fruit in this happening in Focus, and it's so beautiful. Here at Boise, we expanded in the fall of 2016. When Focus got here, there was, from what I understand, no Bible studies happening and no student disciples. Naturally, because Focus hasn't been here, that wasn't a thing yet. But the next year, there was 8 Bible studies and 4 disciples. Doesn't look too promising, but it's a start. The next year, so last year, it started off the year with 12 Bible studies and 10 disciples. And this year, we're starting off the year with 16 Bible studies and 25 disciples. And that doesn't look like a ton number-wise. Like 25 people, you know, that's not a ton. But that is 15 people more than last year. And that's 15 people more who are out there reaching other people. I think it's a beautiful beginning, and it shows like it's steadily getting faster and faster, and more people are coming to know Jesus, which is incredible. Focus also, we have, I'm not gonna call them off focus things, but they are part of Focus. So for instance, we also lead mission trips to foreign countries as part of our spiritual multiplication efforts. We're actually the largest Catholic missions program. I didn't know that till this year. We're a third of the size of the Peace Corps and rapidly getting faster. If I read right, it's projected by 2030, we'll be the same size as the Peace Corps within number of people we send abroad on mission trips. The main focus of these is, of course, serving the poor. We go to, I think, 56 countries, and some of them are the most poor places you can imagine. A couple years ago, I got to go to Uganda, and the poverty I saw was crazy. I know there's a trip to Calcutta, and as we all know, that's where Mother Teresa was, and it's some of the most poor places on the planet. So what we do is we take students and we lead them to go serve the poor. And for any of you who have been on a mission trip, something happens when you're serving the poor. You are Jesus to them, but in another way, they're also Jesus to you. So as you're serving them and caring for them, as Jesus taught us to do, they see Jesus through your actions. But there's also this joy in people who have nothing that just touches the hearts of students who have never seen poverty before. They see Jesus Christ in these people, and it's so amazing to watch. Mission trips are also great in other ways for us. On mission trips, we always have daily mass and a daily holy hour, which for many students, this is the first time they've ever had the opportunity to pray every day and to go to mass every day. And for many of them, it's a moment where like they actually realize the value of the sacraments and the value of these things that we teach them about. Mission trips are one of the top ways that people encounter their learn their vocations, or get called to become missionaries. It's great. And finally, another thing that I love about mission trips is we ask all students to take their phones and turn them onto airplane mode and not touch social media for the entirety of the trip. Have you seen a 19-year-old ever put down their phone? Like, it doesn't happen. So they spend a week without it, and like crazy things happen. Like they talk to each other. It's a miracle. People just love seeing it. This past spring break, I had the opportunity to go to Peru on a mission trip. And right outside of Lima, the capital, there's a small community called Pamplona. Pamplona is the most impoverished place in Peru. And it was quite poverty stricken. And what baffles my mind is that here's Pamplona and here's Lima, and there's a wall built through it because the rich people didn't want to see the poor people, because they didn't want to see the poverty that was there right outside their door. So it's kind of heartbreaking. But also, it's built on this cliff, like this rock cliff, basically. So these houses will be staggered among them. And you'll see these women who are just the poverty-stricken women carrying a baby in one arm and their bag of groceries in the other as they're trying to walk up this mountain. And being a 23-year-old guy, I was like, I was struggling to climb this mountain with nothing but a backpack on. I was like, how in the world are they not dying on this thing? So our mission trip actually consisted of building concrete stairs into the side of the mountain. And it's a really simple thing. Like, you wouldn't think that building stairs would change someone's life, but it absolutely changed theirs. It was safe for them to actually walk me down the mountain. It was easy for them now. And they were so grateful. And it was such an amazing opportunity for our students that we took to see how caring for someone else can be a witness of Jesus Christ. It was so incredible. Another thing that Focus is really renowned for is our conferences. So every year we have a conference, and it alternates between what's called SEEK and SLS. It used to be called Student Leadership Summit. I think it's now just SLS. I could be wrong about that. But SEEK is very much kind of like a Steubenville, only for college students and above. There's now also tracks for adults who are in lifetime, so people who aren't college students anymore, basically. But these conferences are basically aimed at encountering Jesus Christ in a new way, or at least SEEK is. It's actually where I had my conversion, a reversion back to the Catholic faith. And SLS is a conference aimed at equipping students and teaching them how to go out and be missionaries. But we've seen extraordinary things with the numbers for this conference. The first set of numbers I could find was in 2013. And at that point, there were 6,000 students who attended, which is crazy to me. That's a lot of people. But 2 years later, in 2015, there was 10,000 students who attended. 2 years after that, in 2017, there was 13,000. And last year, 17,000 students came to our conference. The conference room where the thing was held was half a mile long, to give you an idea. And as you sat in the back, you just look at all these students. And one night, they go to adoration. And I got to say that watching 17,000 college students kneel before our Lord in the Eucharist is one of the most powerful things I've ever seen. Conferences are, they're amazing. So just a few more statistics. I had this really nice diagram. But that doesn't matter anymore. Last year there was 7,000 students in discipleship across the country. That number is crazy to me because that means that there's 7,000 student missionaries is what we call them. So these students are on mission. There's 7,000 of them. That's like a mini army. Over the past 21 years since Focus started, 867 people have gone on to pursue a vocation to religious life or the priesthood, in part due to Focus. So these were past missionaries or students who work with Focus who give some level of credit to Focus with their help in discerning their vocation. A lot of them were evangelized through Focus and then went on to pursue the priesthood or the sisterhood, religious life. Last year, there were 23,000 students in Bible study. That number is just like mind-boggling to me. And last year, we sent 2,400 students on mission trips across the globe, which is crazy. I'd like to invite my team to come up a little bit and talk about their story of how they got to be here in Boise. So, yeah. So first up, we have Riley Hicklin, who hails from, I don't remember your hometown, Iowa.
Really? Wow. That's great. Hello. As Christopher said, my name is Riley, and I do hail from the great state of Iowa. I get told it's the other Idaho a lot, which I think is kind of funny. Or Ohio. Or Ohio, yep. I went to college at Minnesota State University in Minnesota. And I think Christopher mentioned this, but I studied nursing and now I'm a registered nurse. The Lord called me to serve full-time as a missionary. And that happened because I met Focus missionaries as a college student. I grew up in a Catholic family. We went to Mass every Sunday, but I didn't really understand that there was more to the faith until I got to college and I met other students and Focus missionaries who were on fire for their faith and actually knew the Lord. And so it was through them that I had a deep conversion, reversion, I guess, back to the faith. And I just saw it completely transform my life. And so when the Lord asked me to do that for others, I couldn't say no. So that's a little bit of my story.
Hi, I'm Catherine. I'm from Colorado, and I went to Xavier for college. I graduated in 2017, and as Christopher said, I was not business, communications, pretty similar, PR and advertising. But yeah, I think just growing up as a little girl, I just like always had a really strong love for God. And it wasn't until high school that I started going to Mass by myself. And yeah, through that, like totally just fell in love with the Eucharist. And then going into college, just continue pursuing my faith. And I went my sophomore year of college on a focused mission trip to Peru. And a lot of the things Christopher was saying rang true for me, and just a super transformative experience. And I think from that moment, I kind of knew I had a missionary heart. I was thinking more so third world countries, but God had something else planned for me. So as I continued in college, I just realized I had this deep joy, not only for pursuing God, but helping other people. A lot of my friends would come to me, ask me questions about the Catholic faith, and or whenever someone would come to Mass with me, I would just be so excited the whole time, sitting next to them, just being like, what are they thinking? Or, like, do they like this? And I just realized my passion came through that. So senior year, as I was discerning what I was going to do after graduation, I was talking to one of my best friends, and she experienced a huge reversion back to the faith. She attended SEEK our senior year, and she was just telling me how she went to confession for the first time in 6 years, and she was just like so convicted, and just watching the way that God was drawing her so close back to Him. And when she was there, she texted me and she was like, I feel like I got a calling for you. You should be a focused missionary. I was talking to someone and it just seems like something you would really love doing. At the time, kind of brushed it off. I was like, I don't know about being sent anywhere in the country and fundraising my salary and all of these things. And, but a month later, she got in a car accident and passed away. And, our conversation just kind of kept ringing in my head of, you should do this, you should do this. And at her funeral, Curtis Martin, the founder of Focus, was there, and everything kind of fell into place there. So this is my second year at Boise State, and yeah, just crazy seeing the way that God works, and I just love what we get to do on a daily basis. So.
So hello, my name is Kelly Cliffords. I'm from Osceola, Nebraska, so kind of close to Iowa. So my kind of story started in high school. So growing up, my family was mostly practicing Catholics. We'd go most Sundays, but every once in a while we'd miss. In high school, that's when I really started making the faith my own. Sports and God was kind of my life. So I knew I wanted to pursue it when I got into college. So that first weekend, I got involved in a sand volleyball tournament, and I actually met a focused missionary there. And yeah, he's a normal guy, you know? And through him, I got really involved in the Catholic Church there, helping out with the high school youth group, leading a Bible study. And this focused missionary really taught me how to be a man, how to really grow in my faith and share that with other people. It was such a beautiful conversion. It was a beautiful way to truly share a part of me with the people around me. And then the call to Focus, so I did not want to be a Focus missionary at all. I had my own plans. God has greater plans, though, for sure. So yeah, it was the kind of the moment that broke me down finally. Other people had been telling me I should be a Focus missionary for weeks, and there was one retreat that we were on, and the Focus missionary actually had me give a speech at it. It was either give a speech at this retreat or play rugby for this big tournament. And since I had to give a speech, I went to the retreat. during this retreat, though, God broke down every one of those walls in adoration and just pretty much put it on a silver platter, like, hey, you're going to be a focused missionary. So finally accepted it, and it's such an amazing calling now. I get to share with all the other college students what God poured into me. And I'm so thankful for it and really excited for this year.
So I also just wanted to share a little bit about my story as well. So my family was a very much practicing Catholics. We were that perfect, you know, Catholic family. And it was very interesting growing up because we didn't really talk about God outside of church. So somehow, in all my religious education, I missed the idea that you can have a relationship with God. I actually thought that was something Catholics don't believe. Like, I thought that was a Protestant thing, not a Catholic thing. We're not allowed to do that. Turns out I was wrong. But so I went to college with that idea, and I got involved in my Newman Center mostly because they had a lot of free food, and I was a broke, starving college student. And my brother was there, so I was like, may as well hang out there. So I was involved in the Newman Center in leadership forms of some sort. What was funny was that I never had a relationship with God and all of that. And so focus wasn't at my campus until my senior year. My junior year, a lot of stuff happened in my life where I just kind of broke, and I turned to the party scene to cope with it, and so I threw myself into parties a lot. We won't necessarily say how much, but a lot, and it wasn't good. So my senior year, focus came in, and I did not like them. I was like, these guys don't know what they're doing. We don't want them here. They can go away. We don't need them. So it was kind of funny. But since I was around a bit, they met me, and one of them, his name was Riker, he really pursued me, and he did this win, build, send thing better than I've seen anyone, especially the win. He knew that me and a group of people would hang out at a bar on Wednesday nights, and so he'd show up to that bar every Wednesday night, trying to meet up with us and just talk to us. And so he would, and he just like threw his life into it. And he would he'd text me all the time, like, hey, you want to grab coffee? You want to grab lunch? And I'm like, okay. And then he started asking me, how are you? And looking back, I realized he was the only one in my life who asked me how I was doing. And so he quickly became one of my good friends. I didn't talk about the faith. I wouldn't let him do that, because I didn't want him to be missionary to me, because that's not what he was here for. But it was kind of funny, because he was doing it without ever really seeming to. And then he started inviting me to Seek. And the first time he invited me to Seek, I looked in his face and I just laughed. And I was like, no, I'm not going to Seek. He invited me 14 more times in the end. And finally, one day in late November, he calls me. He's like, what if we pay for you to go to Seek? I'm like, I'll take a free trip. So I went to Seek. And it was an adoration as they brought out the Eucharist at this conference with 13,000 other people. That was the first time when I saw the Eucharist, and I just knew that it was Jesus Christ there. And I can't tell you how I knew. I just knew that was Jesus. And he just like ripped open my heart and showed me everything I had done. And I just fell on the floor crying for the next like hour. And then I went up and went to confession for the first time in a long time. And then I came back to campus. I texted him for the first time. I was like, you wanna go grab lunch? And he's like, what's up? We got lunch, and he's like, what's up? I'm like, my life is a mess, and I don't know what I'm doing, and I need your help. And so that's when he just started walking me, building with me, teaching me how to pray, teaching me how to live an actual Catholic life. 2 months later, I was at a retreat, and God was like, how about you go be a missionary? And I was like, I don't want to do that. Because I was going to go to med school, and like I had wanted to be a doctor since I was 8. My heart was set on this. I was like, no, I'm going to med school. But for some odd reason, I applied to Focus. And in the interview weekend, I was there, and I just had so much peace with this that I knew this was what God wanted me to do. So I declined medical school. I went to Focus. I actually got a deferment for 2 years. So the plan was to do 2 years of mission and then go to medical school. Last October, my med school emailed me. They're like, are you coming? And I was like, no, I love mission. I'm not coming. I'm sorry. So now I'm here, and it's amazing. I think it's so amazing that, like, God works in so many ways, and it's so, so abundantly obvious that it's, like, he's so good. So someone mentioned this before, is like, how can you get involved? The most important way is to pray. Praying changes so many things. I've now realized that prayer is like everything. The other day, we were out sitting in front of St. Paul's, just on that like walkway right across the B, and these guys were walking by, and we had some cookies. We're like, you want some cookies? And they're like, sure, we'll take a cookie. And then one of them was like, oh, I'm a confirmed Catholic. When he realized it was a Catholic center, he was like, oh, you should come tonight. And most of the time when you tell someone random to come to an event that night, they don't do it. So I was like, I'm never gonna see this guy again. But I just sat there and I was like, Mary, bring him back here. And he came back. And I was like, what is this? And that's prayer. That's prayer for you guys. It's so important. So please, please, please pray for us, because we need it, and our students need it, and Father Tom needs it, and we all need it so much. The second way is to financially partner with us. I don't know who the people were that donated the money to get me to go to Seek, but there were some donors who donated money to the missionary team at Washington State when I was there, who got me there. I don't know who they are. They wouldn't tell me. But My plan is like to go to heaven and hopefully find them there and be like, thank you so much, because I don't know if I'd be here in heaven without you. So please partner with us. Mother Teresa said, some give by going and some go by giving, but without both, there's no mission, or something like that. The reality is, like, we need like partners. As missionaries, all of our salaries, all of our efforts, everything is funded through people who partner with us financially. Finally, the last way you can help is to go on mission. You don't have to be a missionary full-time to do mission work. You don't have to be a missionary to talk to people about Jesus. You don't have to be a missionary to start Bible studies. We actually have, if you go to focusoncampus.org, we have a whole bunch of Bible studies that tell you step-by-step how to lead a Bible study, or how to talk to people about Jesus. So if you're interested in like going on mission, then like check that out as a resource, or talk to one of us, because the church needs you. Yeah. So I'd like to just thank you for listening to us, and we'd also open up for questions, I think.
Does anybody have any questions for?
On a secular campus, basically, working with these students, how do we go about that when we're not students and we're not really affiliated with the university? This is where partnering with like campus ministry, one of the many, 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 many ways that is so important. So as a campus ministry, they actually have a formal affiliation with the university. So we are the Bronco Catholic Association. So they're the ones who get us tables like on campus and official space. So like tomorrow, actually, there's an involvement fair on campus for the join the clubs thing. And so Focus can't do that because we're not a student organization. But Bronco Catholic Association can. So we go with them and we accompany them. So it's kind of like, it's like a partner in crime type thing where like you have the students and we have the missionary power to do it, I guess. But also like most universities, like they're okay with people talking to people on, like they're okay with you just like hanging out there. At Boise State, for instance, if you join the Alumni Association, you can also get a rec membership, it turns out. Who knew? So as long as you are an alumni, which me and Kelly are now alumni of Boise State University. Yeah. Go Cougs. Yeah. If that answered your question.
It certainly did.
So what are you going to be when you're 65?
What am I going to be when I'm 65? I don't know. Hopefully a saint.
Is this a career? Are you still looking at med school? Or?
Personally, I'm not looking at medical school anymore. Last year, one of the big things that I realized was like, I love ministry, I love mission, and I don't love debt. And I was like, why would I go pay $400,000 to go to medical school when actually I love what I'm doing? So the kind of the desire for medicine kind of died in my heart. I don't know how long I'm going to be doing this for. From now on, for me, it's like a year by year, like, Lord, is this what you're calling me to, or am I supposed to go do something else? So I don't know if you guys wanted to answer that for yourselves.
Yeah, I can. So I've found that making my own plans just doesn't work. Up until about 6 months ago, I had no idea I was going to be a Focus missionary. So as far as knowing what I'm going to do when I'm 65, I have no idea. Leaving that up to God. Let him lead my way.
So they're quite successful. So we always go through these stages where sometimes you feel like nothing's working, and that's like the devil trying to play with you. But I do think like, especially overall what we're doing is successful, but like I haven't been at Boise long enough to like see it change. But at University of Northern Colorado, like in 2 years I saw a difference, like a marked difference between when I got there and when I left, of like students getting caught on fire for mission, and students actually like inviting their friends constantly to be like, will you do this? Like I saw students' lives become missionary lives. There's some students at Boise that I see the same thing on already. So I do see its success in it. Sometimes there's always those doubts, though.
Yeah. Desire for that, but your spiritual gift.
That is true.
Thanks, Christopher. First of all, I brought a prop. This is my New York Yankee hat. I don't like the Yankees, but I know what a home run looks like when I go to a baseball game. All right. And we hit a home run with focus. Okay. I had no idea what focus was when I got to campus. I didn't know how to use the missionaries, for lack of a better word, what they did. And over 2 years, I realized they're the arms and the feet, and the ears and the eyes of Jesus on campus. Okay? Why would a 20-year-old kid want to talk to me when they can talk to the missionaries? Okay? So that's one thing. They can go in the door, the young people, much better than I can. And then through their encountering them in friendship, then they can bring them to me for the sacraments, for spiritual direction, for discernment. But what I love about what they do is thinking, you know, when students say something's impossible, I say, look at them. Look at them. Here's somebody who's not going to go to med school. And the world would say, he's crazy. He's crazy, you know. Somebody being a nurse, she's crazy. She's giving up the good life, all right? And I think students need to see commitment more and more. Now, when I taught at Gonzaga Prep, I never wore clerics, okay? I do every day at Boise, although this one's a little too tight. The shirts shrink on you as you get older. You know, Father Vance and I are talking about wearing the habit once a week. You know, the idea is that witness, that the students need to see that they don't have all the answers, and that's not what it's about, but they're willing to take that step and then to help and to work with the other students to ask those questions and then to probe them. So I am very, very pleased. I cannot imagine Boise State or Idaho State or University of Idaho without focus. That's, if somebody asks what's the value, I'd say, I don't know what we'd do without them at this point. And to reiterate what Christopher said, the more you can tell the story of focus, I think that's one thing you can do, is that there are the church, the trend of college students can be changed, because I see it every day with these young men and women, and the ways you can support them financially, through St. Paul's, Focus Directly, whatever, because I do believe in miracles, but I know that God also wants us to do what we're doing on campus, and that takes money. That takes money and manpower. I would never guess 5 years ago I'd be doing campus ministry. I was teaching in a high school. So what am I going to do in 65? I'll tell you in 4 years, because I'm getting there.
Send people basically. So I'll start with first year. So Kelly's a first year missionary. This is his first year as a missionary. From a first year standpoint, you go to training, which is it's 5 weeks of training. And at the end of your first week, you open up a letter that says, "You're going to Boise. Welcome." And that's all it is. So it's very missionary type, where it's like you're going, end of story. After that, it's kind of like a conversation with the like higher management type people of like, is this a good fit for me? Is this not a good fit for me anymore? My supervisor is what we call a regional director, and they're constantly looking at like who would be good to work with each other, who would be good on this campus, if that makes sense. So they look at personalities basically of, and stories of like, does this person have something that'd be valuable there? I don't really know exactly how those conversations go, because I'm not privy to them. But I imagine if someone's like, I don't know if we have any of these, but like if someone's a Mormon convert, they're gonna be like, oh, Pocatello, this really Mormon, they'd be really good there, or stuff like that. It's kind of like how they kind of like, it's like a puzzle piece, I guess. So, fundraising is a very interesting endeavor, as we will all attest to. It is also the most purifying thing I've ever done. So we have truly Focus has, I think, the best training on fundraising that there is in the nation. We actually use a Protestant like platform of fundraising, and then it's Catholic. They claim that you can fundraise your salary in, I think they say, 6 to 8 months, and all missionaries do it in 5 weeks. And it's hugely successful. So we have, I don't know if I've actually met people who haven't got funded enough to go to Canvas. So it is very well trained, like we are very well trained to fundraise, and it is very fruitful because the Lord provides. So that varies. So like campus here at Boise, we have a house that we rent, and the girls are in an apartment over off Quinn Pond. So you just find housing and then you live there. I know of some campuses in like New Jersey or Boston or one of those ones in the East that there's actually a convent that puts them all up. So sometimes it works out for you. Sometimes you're just in housing like any other person. The closer you are to campus, the better, though, because, you know, as we all know, commuting sucks, and, yeah. The question was, do you think moving far away from the people you know helps you to identify with the people you're working with? I would say yes, for the most part. When I went to Colorado, like, I was very worried about moving away, but being far away gave me the freedom to not. Like, I was homesick, but you can't do anything about it because you're in Colorado, not Washington anymore. So it's not like you can just take a drive home. So it helps you to really enter into the mission.
Do you have holidays home? Do you go home for the month?
Question for the thing is, do you take holidays and go home? Yes, in general. Some missionaries I know, like, may not. Sometimes I know missionaries who like going, like, to their disciples' house for Thanksgiving or something. Sometimes they do that.
So if we wanted to, like, invite you over for Thanksgiving or for Easter or
whatever. I mean, we're hungry people, too. I will admit, it is a little bit chaotic sometimes. Of like, I've had people like, we want to invite you over. And we're like, this date or this date or this date. And we're like, it's busy life. But, yes, please.
Friends, too.
I mean, I like friends. Other questions?
So how do you just pick somebody and say, okay, I'm going to give you $20. You throw in a pot and then they make sure that you're alive or...
Are you asking how do you decide or how does Focus decide or...
Well, if I were to say want to fund somebody, how do you
decide? So, I was going to show you the thing. So if you go to www.focus.org/give, there's all the options to give. And you can do it on many different levels. You can support an individual missionary. So each of us individually raise our salaries and stuff. You can also support a campus. So that's the funds we use a lot to send students to mission trips to SLS. That's the money they took out of to send me to Seek my senior year of college. I would like to ask you guys to help support that fund. So if you go to www.focus.org/give and go to campuses, you'll find Boise, and you can register there to do that if you'd like to. You can also support Focus nationally. I should put in a plug for that for them. Obviously, the funds will be more directed towards the students the more local you give them, if that makes sense. Does that answer the question?
Thank you to you guys for being there because we do pray for our kids when they're away at campus that they'll meet somebody like you. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you guys for coming and sharing. We've been so excited about having them come and tell their story, and so I'm glad that you all were here to hear this. And they are going to start doing, what's it called, mass? What do you guys call it? Where you're going to be going to the different parishes all together as a group.
Mass mobs.
Are you guys involved with Fire Pit Ministries at all?
Okay.
Fire Pit Ministries is another young adult thing that's in the Valley. And so then they're going to be going to all the different parishes and bringing the young people to witness to the regulars that here's the future of the church. Okay, Father, could you help me out here?
I'm wondering if we could extend our hands and blessing of these missionaries. Loving and gracious God, you have sent us these young men and women to share the gospel, not only in word, but in deed and in friendship. As they begin this new year, Lord, help them to know your love for them, that what they have received, that they can give out abundantly, and they never lose it. And we ask that you bless Christopher and Riley and Catherine and Kelly abundantly through the gifts that they receive, their talents, their smiles, their own studies, all the ways that they reach young men and women. We ask that you bless Focus, bless those who support these missionaries, all those who do the work of God on campus and off campus. And we pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Father, and thank you, everybody. I know these guys really inspire me in my faith, listening to them, and I think, wow, oh my gosh. I got a lot of work to do. But thank you for coming, and we will see you next month. I won't be here. Alana is going to be emceeing. She'll be up here next month. So have a wonderful September, and we will see you in October, or some of the events that we were talking about, the Women's Conference, and that's in October. But we'll see you. Thank you.